Let me preface this by saying I have friends that are ICE agents. They hate the rhetoric. They hate the fact that the public has twisted and turned the facts against them. They say they're doing their jobs, enforcing the law. They've been twisted and turned into murderers. And this latest incident, there have been 10 ICE-related shootings / deaths recently. Crazy number. Listen to this ABC report.
This morning, growing outrage after an ICE agent shot and killed someone who was not the target they were pursuing for the second time in less than a week, this time in Maine. A security camera at a nearby home capturing the sound of 5 gunshots. The man's white car, then seen here after the shooting, slowly moving in a circle. An agent trying to stop the vehicle, authorities eventually stopping it with their own car. First responders seen surrounding a man who lay motionless in the street. Daniel Boucher says he saw agents pull the driver out.
He put him on the ground and I heard the young man say, "I tried to stop." Clearly heard him say that. "I tried to stop or I tried to pull over."
Boucher says one ICE agent claimed the man tried to run him over.
"I could no longer see any movement, which meant that he had expired. It was bloody, his face was bloody. It was awful. It was awful. I mean, really, really bad."
The car's windshield seen riddled with bullet holes.
"I don't know what he did, but he didn't deserve to be executed in the street."
ABC affiliate WMTW identifying the victim of the shooting as Joan Sebastian Guerrero from Colombia. Immigration advocates say he had a social security number and was authorized to work in the U.S. and was on his way to work. Maine Senator Angus King saying the 26-year-old was not the intended target.
"The question is, what did he do with his vehicle? Were officers threatened? Were the threats rising to the level that justified deadly force?"
King says he was told none of the agents involved were wearing body cameras. DHS says they are rolling them out to ICE agents across the country. A spokesperson for ICE telling ABC News, ICE law enforcement attempted to conduct a vehicle stop. The vehicle attempted to flee the scene, and fearing for public safety, an officer discharged his weapon. Monday shooting coming 6 days after Lorenzo Salgado Araujo was shot and killed by ICE agents in Houston. Authorities there also alleging the victim threatened agents with his vehicle, though they did not provide evidence. At least 9 people have been killed during immigration enforcement operations under the second Trump administration. At least 5 of them fatally shot, including U.S. citizens Alex Preti and Renee Good earlier this year in Minneapolis.
It has taken months, but local officials...
All right, thanks, buddy. So, in a piece in The Guardian, here are the numbers. In the first 500 days of the Trump presidency, 52 dead in ICE custody, 21 this year. Wall Street Journal reports, in the last year, ICE agents have fired at a dozen cars, okay? So, for perspective, in the first 500 days of the Trump presidency, 52 dead in ICE custody. So you can understand a correlation between 2015 and 2021, 23 dead. An astounding difference. I had to grab one of my boys, the guru, the best immigration attorney I know, and a man who cannot tell a lie and knows this stuff big time. The numbers are daunting, sir. Does it have you concerned at all, Joseph Patrick Murphy?
Any death, any shooting, all this stuff is to be avoided. This is they're very, very, you know, guns are a very powerful tool. It's a bad situation no matter how you slice it up, and you got to look at how they get there. The number itself is a number, and it's a big number, and it's the number we'd like to be at zero. But, we got to get into the why. Okay, you have these allegations that people are running cars at ICE, all these different things. You've got activists throwing rocks at these police cars, people attacking police officers. The social media cycle, I've noticed more and more lately that my clients come in, and I say this respectfully, they're people, but the social media knows a lot about the user. And it was one study indicated that like the YouTube or Google knows that people are pregnant before they do because of their browsing sources. Yeah. So it knows that my clients are scared. It knows what my clients are scared of, and it feeds them a diet of terror. And they come in here and they got all these rumors and things in their head. So you've got migrants, you've got activists, you've got people who are legitimately upset about changes in the immigration system. And it's all converging on these poor guys, these ICE agents, because they're the visible, touchable.
Hold on. You say poor guys. Come on, man. 52 dead in ICE custody in 100 days with Trump in 7 years. Before that, 20 dead. Well, come on, bro.
And again, I'm not trying to minimize that number. Yeah. But you've increased the number of people that are being arrested. You've increased the number of street encounters. Yep. You want to increase if there's a 0.01% chance of a death, and you multiply the number of people going through it by 10 or 100 or whatever they're doing now, it's a lot. That number's going to come up with them. And that's, obviously to be minimized, but for all we know, they're doing better than they were. That is to say, because they're doing more. Just the raw number doesn't tell us, other than the number, doesn't tell us anything. Deaths in ICE custody by suicide are different than deaths in ICE custody by murder.
My man, I just laid out 10 homicides, according to 10 murders. Yep. I mean,
well, which number? What do you mean 10 murders?
10 ICE-related shootings, some calling them homicides, in the last year. Are you concerned about that? What do you tell your clients?
What I tell my clients is not to fool with law enforcement. If somebody's going to oppose them, that's my job. Those people are heavily armed. They're heavily trained. A lot of them look like they could play in the NFL. You're no match for these guys, and you're going to get hurt. Whether people are able to, and this goes back to what I was saying before, people are so worked up. Add to that the perception that nobody is getting a fair shake in immigration court anymore.
It's true.
I go down there and it's like, what are we doing here? Why do we even have this court system? Everything's got to be appealed into federal court because all the judges work for the same agency that's trying to deport these people. So it's like, well, why not take a chance? If you're not going to get a break in court, this is the problem. If there's no chance that you're going to get a break in court, then why cooperate with an arrest? And when you don't cooperate with an arrest, the likelihood of getting shot while not cooperating with arrest goes up significantly. This is all horrifying stuff. I mean, look, that guy was a father of kids, seemed like a nice enough fellow, looked pretty clean cut in the pictures we saw. Hard to picture him trying to drive over a police officer, but...
Let me read this, and then we got to go. Can you hang, man? I need to ask you a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
One of my boys in ICE says this. We are in the streets like regular cops. We ramp up encounters, then you up the chances of critical incidents, which is kind of sort of what you're saying, yes?
Yes, yes.
Just like regular local cops, end quote. You agree?
Well, yeah, there's that. They commonly say that young men are more dangerous drivers than young women, and that may or may not be the case, but what we definitely know is that young men drive more than young women. They pick people up and take them on dates, so... Yeah, and per mile driven, and it's the same thing. You're increasing the amount of stuff. At the same time you're doing that, you're increasing the stress on the individual officers. There was an incident you and I talked about maybe it was 6 months ago, the Minneapolis, where activists had camped outside a hotel that agents were sleeping in, to keep them awake all night. And then they're going to be surprised when their judgments are not 100% the next day. It's almost like some of these people... maybe unintentionally, but they're engaged in acts that if you looked at them with a cooler head, you would see that these acts are going to make the thing they're scared of more likely.
Can you hang, brother? Can you hang?
Sure.
Got to get more from Joseph Patrick Murphy next. Fifty-two dead in ICE custody in the first 500 days of this Trump administration. 10 ICE-related shootings that led to deaths in the last year. The guys on the streets, the ICE guys, for context, they fire back saying this. Look, man, Marty, you have guys not used to street cop stuff. You have so many encounters a day by ICE that agents now, it's going to happen. It's just that our stuff is put in the news. There are officer-involved shootings every day all over the country. So what are those numbers? For context, Joseph Patrick Murphy, listen to this. In America, law enforcement officers fatally shoot or kill an average of 1,100 to 1,300 people annually. To the ICE agent's point, when they shoot someone, it's national news. But the truth is, this is what happens when you encounter cops, run at cops, have dangerous encounters with anyone in law enforcement. Yes, sir? No audio. Can't hear you, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, this is law enforcement. They're force. They have weapons. They have training. They have handcuffs. They have sticks. They have radios. The whole point of this group is force, whether it's local police, the dog catcher, or ICE. And fooling with them, this is the one thing that you're never going to win against them with. You win against them with political pressure. You win against them with courtroom tactics like I use. But you're not going to go beating them up. They'll just keep sending more police. And getting yourself in these positions where you're almost daring them or putting them in a position where their hand is forced and violence is almost controlled by the victim. This is a very, very bad idea. I don't know who's advising people to do this. I know that it's going on, that activists are being trained to place themselves in harm way and to try and trigger, so to speak, reactions from these guys. For the most part, you know, if I need a break in the system, it's actually ICE that'll give it to you. If you need somebody signed out of a reporting requirement because they've got to go to cancer treatment, you can get that compassion directly from the ICE office. And that's really, believe it or not, where you turn in most cases where you need it. I'd hate to see that sort of flexibility and discretion converted into just a general defensiveness by if this kind of nonsense continues much longer.
I find, and this is why I love you, and you know this, I find your status and your situation and your stance extraordinary. And I'll tell you why. You're a guy who goes to war for these immigrants.
I do.
Yet they're being killed, and you're in essence saying, this is what it is, and ICE is doing a job. You have no real outrage about this extensive shooting, do you, sir?
Sure. As a human being, these are families that are missing loved ones. These are, it's terrible. Death, shooting, it's always a bad deal. But sometimes it's the best deal you're going to get in a situation. So, you know, I could get emotional about it, of course, but that's not particularly professional. And I encourage my clients to not be emotional and be realistic about their police interactions, too. Whether it's ICE, the state police, the city of Pittsburgh, whoever it is, getting attitude with cops, deluding yourself into believing that you can, you know, this is a simple disagreement or argument in a schoolyard. It's really reckless behavior. It's very dangerous. And people who are training this into children and into each other really ought to have their head examined because it's pretty cruel.
And I'm with
setting
you.
These people up to get hurt.
I'm with you. I got to get to this because it's relevant as hell. I'm texting you yesterday.
Yes.
And you said, I'm heading back from Charleroi. So
yes,
their temporary protective status has been removed. How has that affected the folks in Charleroi, sir?
Well, the Charleroi has been pretty well served by me and some other law firms,
yep.
Primarily me. So, you know, people have made Plan B, the ones that had legit asylum claims or close to legit asylum claims. We put those in. I don't tell people you're not allowed to have asylum. The judge does that.
Yeah.
Okay. We advocate for them. So they're going to be semi-safe with that. The at-risk group are people that came into this country without any kind of permission at all.
Huh.
Most of the Haitians came on something called the Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela protocol, a parole protocol. Their entry was legal. They were let into this country by the Biden administration, whether you agree with that or not.
Right.
They don't have the original sin of breaching our borders without permission. The earlier group, the group that came in late 2022, these were the people that were under the bridge in Texas. A lot of them ended up in Charleroi. Those people don't even have a lawful entry.
Wow.
So they're all subject to arrest at any time. As soon as TPS ends, there's no protection. They're literally operating without a net, wow. even if I file asylum wow. for them. ICE can arrest him and make him argue their claim from inside a jail cell. And we had that case last fall. I won that one, but this is not an easy thing to do, especially with today's immigration courts.
Joseph Patrick Murphy, the best there is. Truth to power, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
He is my man. Whoa, this is what I call breaking news. Damn. And I'm getting texts from my friends that are with ICE. Whoa. All right, I got to bring Joseph Patrick Murphy into this. This is actually astounding. I called him back because this just went down. So, check this out. And I verified this is true.
Okay.
In a major policy shift, ICE... they're being instructed to end most vehicle stops nationwide. Wow. They will cease making traffic stops, which has played a significant role in the agency's operations till now. And let me read you this, then I'll get your reaction, brother.
Mm-hmm.
One of my boys in ICE says they got the order this morning. The number of arrests will basically disappear. They don't know how to manage us having to be street cops, and that we're all annoyed, and I will most likely not last here. Your reaction, sir? This is the hammer.
With respect to your friend, it might be overreacting. They're still able to do the courthouse arrests and the other type of enforcement actions they've been doing. I don't know why they need to pull over cars, especially if they don't have the equipment and the gear to do that, and they end up shooting people. You know, your local police has all sorts of things to stop a car, those nail strips they throw on the street. There's all sorts of training and pit maneuvers. ICE may or may not have that training. I don't know. But it seems like, you know, they're doing a lot of this man versus car and resorting to guns. So I applaud it as a flexibility from a policy level. The idea here is to do the most good and the least bad. And given the way that's been defined by the political process, backing off of the cars, if it's caused a lot of trouble, why not?
From my friend Ron Layton, who is deep into law enforcement expertise.
Yep.
Plainclothes units, stopping cars is always a problem. Some departments completely prohibit this if no uniform cars are available. It's about time. Most departments know this. Quota-driven enforcement always gets the officers in trouble. Yes? No?
Well, I'm not a law enforcement expert. I'm a lawyer. It's a different thing that I do. But just common sense, I would agree with that. And more importantly, I really like seeing the flexibility in management of ICE, you know, with Minneapolis isn't going so well. Instead of doubling, tripling down on what was becoming a disaster, they pulled out. That's perfectly fine. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And if the traffic stops aren't serving the purpose, they're resulting in people getting killed, a bloody nose, public relations, public outrage, don't do them.
Let me play dummy.
Yep.
If I'm in a car and I'm one of your future clients, guess what I'm doing? I'm driving on, brother. Because I know now, that ICE ain't touching me.
The car's going to run out of gas.
My man.
Don't forget,
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The run. But again, they're fine. All right. Take him some other way that doesn't involve a couple tons of steel.
Yeah.
Moving around at a couple hundred horsepower. That's fine. There's plenty of ways to do that. What's the need to grab him in the car? I mean, now, obviously, if this person's trying to ram a car into a crowd of people at a Christmas festival or something, that's a different ballgame.
What they describe as egregious cases will be enforced, to Joseph Patrick Murphy's point. Yes.
Absolutely right. But otherwise, there's no need to take somebody that way. It's, you know, they do this with kind of hostage cases and stuff. They wait them out because that's the most optimal, or most likely to create an optimal outcome. Here, they're finding out pulling people over isn't working, or it's having other consequences that they don't intend.
Let me tell you what annoys a lot of people that are texting me as we speak. Yep. Why do I hear every time there's one of these shootings, ICE agents were not wearing cameras when they've been allocated funds to have body cams, sir?
Well, you're hearing it because they're not wearing them.
Right.
Okay.
On.
Now that's policy. I've seen, I think the Guardian article that you mentioned intimated a change in policy about the wearing of body cams.
Yep.
This force has a history. There's a group of core ICE agents that have been around a long time. Some of them I've known and worked with for years, have a great relationship with. And then there's a whole bunch of new people that were hired very, very rapidly under the Big Beautiful Bill. I don't know. Maybe by now there was time to fully train them up to be, you know, to exercise the discretion a law enforcement officer needs to be able to do. Some of them were probably poached from other law enforcement agencies. Some of them were guys just out of high school. You know, so that new group, you know, my guess is that's where the trouble's coming from. And, you know, get those body cams on and we'll see who's really causing this trouble. Because if these cars are driving at you, really driving at you, and you got to do what you got to do, I don't think the public is going to hold that against you. But if there's no video record, every inference is going to go against ICE. That's just the way the public relations stack is set up right now.
Listen to this from Ron Layton. It's not ending the arrests, but having to do surveillance, this is smart, and wait till a guy or guys gets out of the car will slow the pace of arrests. That's the issue. They won't make the numbers. You go from grabbing 10 a day to one or two. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of pressure. There was the at one point to do 2,000, 3,000 a day, I think at one point was the target. They could never do that. They were doing 2,000 a day for a while. I don't know. I mean, where you arrest them doesn't necessarily affect how many. I don't think that that's a correlation. You can go to people's houses and knock on the door, and if they open up and they allow you to, you can arrest them there. We talk about Home Depot. It's come out now that Home Depot is cooperating, and those traffic cams in their parking lot are not just cameras. They're flock surveillance cameras taking digital pictures of license plate numbers, comparing driver registration. Yep. Whether you've got a sticker on the back of your car that says saves the whales, whether you've got a roof rack, what time you're there, all this stuff is being recorded and shared with law enforcement. Outrageous what Home Depot did. I have a series of videos out on all my social media in four different languages. It's called Shame on You, Home Depot. But there's easy enough to get people. Those flock cameras are everywhere. They've got facial recognition on lots of these people. You could pick them up in busways and airports at Home Depot for sure.
My brother. You're on it today, my man. Truth to power, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
That's what I call breaking news. So the ICE guys that I know say they were told this morning, do not make any more traffic stops and arrests. That's big. I would trust Ron Layton with my life. Ron Layton protected four presidents. Ron Layton is the smartest man I've ever met, ever. And he's brilliant at this sort of strategy. And he's trained thousands of cops. Patrick, I'm sitting there. He knows Layton as well as I do. Patrick, this has all the ICE agents I know insanely hacked off. They've been ordered now not to stop cars. Ron says it makes sense. What it does, Patrick, is it stops this machine of media that hates any time there's an ICE-involved shooting and turns them into the bad guys. You know what I'm saying, Patrick?
Yeah, it does make perfect sense from what we've seen and what we're hearing.
And I don't judge. I know a bunch of these ICE guys. A bunch of them have no experience. And that's some of the angst that they have, Patrick. The guys that I know that have background in police work say, if they're going to shut us down, I'm going to quit. Which, by the way, if they're now told you can't stop cars, and you heard me, Patrick, ask Joseph Patrick Murphy this, wouldn't it get out on the streets? And wouldn't these suspects say they ain't stopping us? Wouldn't they use it to their advantage, sir?
I wouldn't see why they wouldn't.
Me too.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. But if this cuts down some of the danger we've seen, because it's not just dangerous to the people inside that car, it's dangerous to anyone around it when bullets start flying.
I think a lot of it's training. I think a lot of it's they're undercover. In the body cam issue, they've been given funding, Patrick. They need to put those damn cameras on today if they have the funding.
Yeah, the excuse I heard in one of the national forums was that the government shutdown from several months ago is the reason that they haven't deployed them nationwide.
I saw them. That they don't have access. They don't have the cameras yet. Stop making excuses. Because what it does is you presume or assume, not that it's true, that they're doing this as a tactic so they're not caught making a mistake. You know what I'm saying, Patrick?
Yeah, exactly.
Most law enforcement officers hated the advent and the initiation and the usage of body cams. Not anymore. Most of them have used body cam footage to clear their name time and time again. Most cops, most in the vast majority, don't leave the house thinking, man, I'm going to get you today. Most of them do it by the book. Most of them do the right thing. But what this has done and what the citizen advocates have done is they've presented ICE agents as bad guys. And that creates a dangerous scenario for, number one, citizens on the streets. Number two, ICE agents. And number three, Americans who watch these videos and think, damn, ICE screwed up again. But the numbers suggest this. Cops on the streets kill 1,100 to 1,300 citizens in the act of committing a crime each year. ICE agents have shot and killed 10, a diminutive number if you present it that way. But if you present it as these are bad guys, ICE is killing everyone, that's what the public starts to believe. And one of my boys nailed this, saying they should have scaled back without advertising the new policy. 1,000% true. Just change the rules. Don't tell the criminals you're changing the game. Folks, next hour, you got to hear about this massive fire that burned in this beautiful home a few nights ago. And what started the fire, and what may have started the fire, and a warning to every single parent out there. You've got to hear this segment next.